T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, that may sound like football music. It is football music. But it's more than that today. It's draft music, and we will explain why coming up in just a minute. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday and a beautiful day in the Delaware Valley. I'm Glenn Mack now, my usual spot. Ray Dinger is off today. Ray giving a speech in Hershey. Mark Farzetta, friend, is coming in for him. How are you today?
I'm great, man. Looking forward to this. It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun as we are going to go till 1 o'clock with our show, and then we got a little Phillies pregame. Phillies, Milwaukee, try to avoid the sleep. We try to avoid the sleep when they play the sweep. So I'm going to tell people something that they already know. This is the slowest time of the year in sports. None of the Eagles, Sixers, Flyers are playing. There's really not a whole lot going on once that summer league ended with Markelle Fultz hurting his ankle. There was not much to talk about there, although you have a story we're going to get to later about how the Sixers are ripping off their loyal fan base.
It's absolute disgrace.
It does seem like it. I was out of town all week. I took a little vacation.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was really nice. My wife's from Cape Cod, so we went up there, and I ate lobster and drank beer and went in the ocean.
Any baseball going on there right now?
There is. Okay. I didn't get to a game this time, but it is the greatest thing. You know what I do for that, just to digress? I always, any game I go to, I keep score, right? I've been doing it since I was 9 years old, and I still do it. And I have saved most of the games that I've ever gone
really?
To. On a, yeah. I have a drawer at home, deep drawer, like a file cabinet drawer, that's pretty much full of most of the games I've been to in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. I just have always done it, and then I just started saving. I have some games like from when I was 14, 15
That's
years
amazing.
Old.
Amazing.
Yeah. Including the Cape Cod League games that I go to. I've probably been to a couple dozen of those in my life. Mm-hmm. And I went back a couple years ago, and I started looking at them. It's like, oh, I saw Chase Utley play. I saw Will Clark play. I saw Frank Thomas. It's like you don't even know when you're there
right. What
you see because they're kids. Some of them you remember, but yeah, I do go to those. And that is, if anybody ever has the chance to go up during the summer, I don't have to sell you on Cape Cod. It's really nice. But the Summer League Baseball, which is the best college players using wood bats, being looked at by all the scouts in the country, is just great baseball.
Oh, yeah. I found a couple of my old box scorebooks from when I was a kid. I only maybe did it 5 or 6 times, but they all went to only about the 4th or 5th inning. And it was consistent. Like I was paging through them. Maybe a dozen of these things. Yeah. And I'm thinking, why am I it to the 7th.
They lost interest?
No, I would go get food, and it was over. I would go get nachos.
Well,
and that was that. Like, one actually had the Cheese Whiz stain
on
it. Oh,
no, full disclosure. Mine, most of them have, like, ketchup smears on them or, little bit. This one reeks of beer. No, everything, I have peanut husks that you got to brush off.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I got all that. Anyway, we'll talk some baseball as the day goes on because I deeply care about baseball. I know you're a fan. But there's two things that are coming. One is tonight. The other one is in August. And I want to gauge your interest in both of these things because when sports is slowed down to nothing, what you look for is stunts. And there's two stunts. One of them is tonight. You actually went yesterday to the news conference. It's this new 3-on-3 hoop senior league.
Well,
that is what
it is,
right?
That's a great way to describe it. The Big 3 League. Yes, that's what it's called.
They don't call it the senior league?
No, they should for most of these guys. But no, the Big 3 League, yes.
All right, tell me about this.
So it's a bunch of retired guys. I think Al Horford's in it. Kenyon Martin's in it. They have guys that are player coaches. I know Charles Oakley's a coach for one of the teams. Iverson's obviously playing in it. And the whole thing started up with Ice Cube, rapper and actor now and everything else.
Barbershop. Love it.
He's out there promoting this thing with Allen Iverson here in Philadelphia. And it's just a 3-on-3 tournament. 3-on-3 is going to be this big thing because now it's going to be an Olympic sport as well, 3-on-3 basketball.
I know.
They got, I forget if it's a 5-point line or whatever it is.
No, four-point shot.
Four-point shot. Thank you.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's...
It's pretty gimmicky.
It's very gimmicky. The rules are weird. It's not like you play three-on-three when you're playing in the schoolyard or anything like that, where you got to take it out past the three-point line to check it. You actually have to bring it to half court, touch it up with a ref, and then inbound the ball again, which I think takes away a lot of the drama.
Well, part of the problem, I guess, in that they've played a few of these games is they're pretty slow. They had three games. They opened in Brooklyn, where, by the way, they got 15,000 people.
Wow.
And then they went to Tulsa. I don't know why. And they got over 10,000 people. So they're selling seats. I don't know what they're going to sell tonight.
Well, what else are you doing in Tulsa?
Fair point. I don't know. I don't know how many they've sold for tonight. It's tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets start at $25.
Yep.
They max at 750 courtside. I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of market for that. They have a buy one, get one free if you take your kids, right? So,
nice.
You know, it's a Sunday night in the summer. They don't have school. You take a couple kids. There you go. It's a good deal. But the games are only to 50. First team to get 50 wins. And they played three games. You know, it's like they have a tournament. And it took 6 hours. So I guess there's a lot of clank.
Yeah. It's not good basketball. And I say the way you put it, these games are slow. So are the players. Because they're not moving around too well at the age that they're at playing this young man's. It's still a young man's game. But I tried watching some of this.
You did?
When they were in Brooklyn and it started up, I was like,
It's on FS1 the night after. So they play tonight at Wells Fargo. It's going to be on TV tomorrow.
And I'm thinking, I love basketball. I grew up playing basketball on playgrounds and stuff. I'll give this a look. How many games of 3-on-3 have I played in my life? 100. Thousands, maybe. And I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, I can't watch this. It's just bad. There's no excitement to it. There's no nothing to it. I can't watch it. I watched maybe 10 minutes of it to really try to give it a chance, 10, 15 minutes. And it's missed shots. It's slow basketball players. It's one camera angle. And the one camera angle reminds you of, like, if you were lucky enough where your dad might have bought a camcorder later. And he's videotaping your...
Here's you at age 14.
Exactly. Here's you in eighth grade at Our Lady of Mount Carmel playing on the blue team, whatever. And it's one camera angle from the corner of the court. That's what it looks like.
I will tell you, I have moderate interest in this.
Okay.
I would like to see it... Truth be told, I probably would like to see it once. And then, like you, having seen it once, it's like, okay, I saw it. But the coaches for this thing include Doc, who's going to be here tonight. I'd pay money just to go watch Doc on the sideline.
I have an immense respect for Dr.
George Gervin, Clyde Drexler, Rick Barry, Gary Payton, Charles Oakley, Rick Mahorn. I love those guys.
Yeah?
I would go see those guys. I mean, I guess most of them aren't playing.
You'll go see them?
Yes. Well, I don't think I'd watch it on TV. Yeah. I'd watch it on TV for like 20 minutes. Yeah. Right. You kill time between a couple of other shows that you care about. And then, as you said, you realize, oh, it's not that good. I would love to see Iverson in a uniform dribbling a basketball again. Now, you saw him yesterday. You went to the newser.
I had, yeah, so
he look good still? He's moving? He's got it?
He's moving, but the interview I'll describe is awkward. It was a little awkward. It was him and Ice Cube. Now, if it was Allen Iverson, just him, one-on-one, with a guy that, to me, still, I mean, I was in high school when he was, I was in grade school when he was really starting up with the 76ers. So, I mean, the boyhood idol. This is a big deal for me. And we interviewed him for the 700 level show. And if it was just one-on-one, it would have been all Iverson, all 76ers, all what's going on now. But it was supposed to be about the Big Three league that's going on. So Ice Cube was there too. And Ice Cube, I'm a fan of, not nearly as much as Allen Iverson, but Ice Cube was like the big promoter. He was the guy really letting everybody know how great this league is going to be and how much fun it's going to be and why you should come out and how it got started and all this other stuff. And AI was just, he was AI, man. He was just real... I don't know how to describe it. I couldn't tell if he was nervous or maybe didn't get a lot of sleep the night before.
Or maybe intoxicated way or another.
Yeah, your word, not mine. And
okay. I don't think we're breaking news there.
I know.
Okay.
So
did he look like he could move? Did he look like, you know, like he's going to put on the ball? He's going to put on the ball. He's going to put on the uni and pick up the ball. He's going to be great.
Right. Yes. He, no, that's not how he looked.
Oh.
But I'll say this. He was a lot more... humorous, lighthearted, that'd be the way to put it, about his age now. Because remember when he came back to play for the Sixers, they were talking to him about 30, I think he was 33 years old or something like that when he came, and they're talking about 33, 33, 33, and he goes, he interrupts the one reporter asking about it, and he goes, man,
Is 33 really that old?
It was for him.
You guys, exactly.
It was for him.
But and he joked about it, and he said, you know what, it's going to be me out there on the court doing my thing. Well, the 42-year-old version of the thing, and I'll be out there playing
ball. Yeah, okay. So are people going to watch it? He did not live the Tom Brady diet, so I don't think his longevity wasn't part of the plan.
I don't think he's ever eaten kale.
Right. The second thing, and we got to do this quick because I want to get to what we're going to have fun with today, is the Floyd Mayweather-Colin McGregor promotional tour.
Right.
Took place this week, which was a foul-mouthed, obscene, loud, not suitable for work, sometimes goofy, often nasty event or series of events designed to get people to watch the August 26th fight. Mm. I will tell you now, it cost $99 to do it, to get the pay-per-view of this thing. I wouldn't, to use the old expression, I would not look out my kitchen window if it was going on in my backyard. I hate this thing. I hate it on every level.
Mm.
I hate it because it's not a real sporting event. It's a stunt. I hate it because it's entirely designed to make these guys each $100 million. I hate it because it takes the sport to that low place where only boxing and MMA can go, where racism and homophobia and just throwing money in the air is considered promotion,
mm.
which it wouldn't – in no other sport would you get away with that. Whoa, crap.
Yes.
And I want this thing to fail miserably.
Mm.
You with me?
No, and for all the reasons you just said, I can't wait to watch it.
You're a sucker.
It sounds really amazing. I know I'm a sucker. And look, we were talking about this Friday. I was on PST, and we were talking about this, and it was pretty much the same argument from our friend Michael Barkant.
Mm. Sensible man?
Yes, very much so. It's not a sporting event, and that I agreed with. It's a spectacle. It's an accident on the side of the road that everyone's going to look at. But this, with all the talk and all the hype and all that other stuff, and it's really taking two sports and trying to mix them, at least two athletes from two different sports and trying to mix them. I can't wait to watch it for two reasons. One, because Floyd Mayweather Jr., obviously he's a boxer and he's a great boxer, but he's all about being on the defensive and trying to stay away from people and not really coming in there and hammering guys. But he's more of a defensive fighter. I just want to see what it would be like if you get one of the most aggressive human beings on the planet to go after him. I know it's a totally different sport, but I want to see what that looks like.
It's junk.
I don't disagree.
It's going to, you're going to, afterward, you're going to say, I wasted my money, however much money you wasted.
First,
I'm never going to get those 2 hours back or 5 minutes or however long it lasts, right?
No.
And 5 years from now, you're going to be doing a show on the worst events you've ever seen. I say, yeah, you know the one I saw.
Well,
I don't know why I just made you into Jody Mack, but that's what you'll do.
Okay, thanks. But no, first off, if you spend $100 on this, you're an idiot.
You're a fool.
You have friends, I hope. If not, go on Craigslist. Say I'm looking for friends to help pay for a fight.
I want
to
rent.
I want to rent friends. Yeah, and then have people come over, and then you pay everybody pays $10, whatever, and then you pay for the fight
it's
and you
awful.
Watch the train.
You
wreck.
Should be ashamed.
Oh, stop!
Anybody who watches this should be ashamed. I'll lay it out for you over the next 3 hours. It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a fraud, and you should not get caught up in it.
It's a Travis Shamockery?
Yes.
There's a reason, Glenn Mack, now that...
And Travis Shamockery was a tight end in the 60s.
Great guy, very athletic. But there's a reason why, unfortunately, and here's where I'll agree with you, that the society we live in now is just totally screwed. There's a reason why the Kardashians are popular. There's a reason why people are tweeting about Rob Kardashian and Black China getting into a social media war. There's a reason why Housewives of whatever are popular. People are drawn to things that make them feel better about themselves.
Why do you have to go to that?
Because this
why
is,
do you have to be part of that
because
nonsense?
Because this is two guys fighting, and I want to
no,
watch
it's
that.
Not. It actually isn't going to be two guys fighting. It's one guy fighting and one guy stepping into a sport he doesn't know to get hit in the face, fall down, and collect $100 million.
I'll watch that.
Well, you're a fool.
I honestly think Conor McGregor is a lot more competitive than just go in there and take a dive.
Yeah, wrong. So don't go anywhere because we're going back to that. We're going to go back to that.
All right.
I want to get this in at the start of the show. We're going to do so again. It's the slow time. We want to have some fun today, and this is what we decided to do. A draft is always fun. no matter what you do, a draft is fun. You were telling me a story earlier in the show where Ray and some other football writers back in the 80s, 70s,
yeah,
whatever.
Late 80s, yeah.
Yeah, did a draft of...
anybody ever.
But it was football related.
Yeah, but there's no rules. Uh-huh. It was just, they were bored at a draft, and this writer, now turned comic, was telling this story about how he was with Ray Dininger and a couple other writers, and they said, you know, we got some time to kill, and they were in a conference room, and there was a podium in the conference room, and they say, all right, here's what we'll do. Go up to the podium, we're going to do a draft. Everyone goes up to the podium, and you can draft anyone ever. Anyone in the history of the world, you can draft. So the one guy gets up there. Actually, I think it was Ray who got the first pick. And they go, Ray, go up there. And I think Ray was writing for the Bolden, maybe. I don't know. And he goes up there and he goes, with the first pick in the 1988 anyone draft, the Bulletin takes Benjamin Franklin, University of Philadelphia. And they're like, you could draft anyone ever, and you take Ben Franklin? He's like, well, you know, agile guy, big left tackle. You could build a nation around this guy. And they go through this whole thing. I'll tell
all
you.
Right.
Oh, man.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. And we'll kick it off when we get back. We'll give you the details of this. We are going to do the all-time television character draft. Anybody who's ever been a character on TV, you're drafting the character. You're not drafting the actor, the actress.
Right.
You're drafting the character.
Okay.
We're going to run it from now to the end of the show. And it'll at 12:40, we actually have a judge, somebody who knows about these things.
Really?
Esteemed television critic, David Biancooley.
Okay.
He's going to come on. He's going to look at you. Get a team. I get a team. Our producer, Steve McFadden, gets a team. And the listeners get a team. And we're going to do it. We'll do a snake draft. And you just draft whoever you want. Who is the greatest character in the history of TV? You can draft drama, comedy. You can draft man, woman. How about we make a rule? You got to have minimum of 3 women on the team.
It's like, yeah, it's beer league softball.
Yeah, intramural softball. Right, you got to have 3 women on the team.
Okay, sure.
You got to do that. You can go old school. You can go on right now. Whatever you want. We'll set this up when we get back. Here's the deal. Actually, we'll give a prize to. We'll figure that out too.
All right.
But here's the deal. Call up. Talk about anything that we're talking about. I want to hear from people who your feelings on this McGregor Mayweather travesty of a sham. Are you planning to, like Mark Farzetta, get your money stolen from you and watch this thing, or are you sensible?
$10. I got friends.
Okay. The old timers, 3-on-3, if it means anything to you. We do have some Sixer stuff, and we'll talk somehow, somewhere about the Phillies today. But at the end of your call, you get a pick. You represent the listeners. Any character in the history of TV is yours. We'll debate it. We'll discuss. We'll come back. We'll set it up more. We'll get the draft order. We'll get the draft going, and we want to hear from you. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. Mark Farzetta is in for Ray Didinger. I'm Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP. All right, with Mark Farzetta, who's in for Ray, I'm Glenn Mack now. And we are going to run the all-time TV character draft today. So you call up, make whatever great point you want to make, and at the end of the call, we will give you a pick. And then at 12:40, we'll run it all by our friend, the TV critic, Dave Biancooley, and he'll say who has the best. You can take anybody. You can take comedy, drama. You can take new school, old school. Go back to the beginnings of TV if you think that's the one. You got to have 3 women on your team. Well, we'll just make sure at some point the listeners do that. What are the rules? No other rules, right?
There are no other
rules. There are other rules. All right. You hold the ping pong ball shaker.
Yes.
All right, David Stern. Let's do it.
Because we can't afford that. We just have a Tasty Cake crimpet box and 4 names.
And by the way, can you be the official keeper of the...
absolutely.
Names.
I got an Excel spreadsheet already open in front of me. Okay. I really do.
Okay, good. You got scouting reports?
Oh my God.
Look right
here.
See what I got here?
That's nice.
I spent at least 20 minutes on this. Go ahead.
All right, here you go. With the first pick in the television all-time draft, that goes to?
You're going 1 or you want to go 4-1?
Oh, you want to want to go full lottery
style?
Got,
yeah.
Full lottery? All right, I'll read. All right, here we go.
Who's got 4?
All right, here we go. Steve McFadden, producer extraordinaire.
Well, it means he gets 4 and 5, which is often an advantage. Okay.
Snake draft.
All right.
Let's see here.
3.
Our callers.
Callers
Team
get pick
callers
3.
Get pick number 3.
Okay, cool.
Pick number 2. Second overall pick goes to Mark Farzetta. Which means Glenn Mack now gets the number 1 overall pick. This was not at all rigged. Congratulations, Glenn.
I'm just going to start right here.
Okay, what do you got?
I've been watching television for my entire life, which is a lot longer than your entire lives.
Just a little.
I remember television going back to the 1960s, my friend.
Is it true it used to only be in black and white?
I had a black and white TV had a color TV. Yeah. I mean, I remember when we got our first color TV when I was about 7.
Mm.
First show I ever watched in color TV was Bonanza, and it was amazing.
Wow, that guy just died.
Yeah, the green. Which one?
The guy.
Lauren Green.
Wait. Was Brass Bonanza the theme song?
Bonanza.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Brass Bonanza.
No, that's the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah, that guy died. The guy that wrote that, he just died.
Oh, no, Bonanza was a TV show with Lauren Green and Michael Landon and Hoss Cartwright and whatever. It was great. It was a Western. It was, yes.
You know how I know?
Not the one we worked with. No, different.
I was just going to say, that's the only way I know that name.
Yeah.
I'm aware it was a show.
It was a great show.
I thought that was the theme song.
No, it was a great show. See, here's, and I'll just say this before I pick. One of the great things about TV now is you can watch everything. I know that Bonanza is on because the other day I walked home and my wife was actually watching it in the middle of the afternoon. I said, Judy, we got to get you a life. she said, I'm paying the bills and it's on in the background. But all of those shows, because of Nick at Night, because of all of the Me Network, whatever, there's all these networks that run shows forever.
Mm-hmm.
Law and Order we'll all be dead and Law and Order will still be running. Somewhere, right?
Well,
everybody loves Raymond.
We'll be corpses on that show.
Right. Yeah, right. I got an acting gig. anyway, I will tell you that the greatest character, having watched TV since the very beginning, is Walter White.
Whoa!
And I am taking from Breaking Bad with the first pick of the, what do you want to call it? The Sunday morning draft.
All-time TV draft.
All-time television draft here on 94 WIP. Good work.
Nice, Steve.
Team Mac now takes Walter White.
Wow.
You want to analyze that?
I'm shocked at this first pick. I thought you would go more TV that I had never heard of before because your vast knowledge of TV far extends mine, supersedes mine. So I am a little. I'm very surprised.
Hold on, we have a quick interview with my guy.
I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger.
I got that guy.
That's amazing.
I got that guy.
He's a good guy to have on your team.
Oh yeah.
Now
I'm the one who knocks.
Now I'm thinking. Now that's definitely a guy who can carry a show.
Heisenberg.
That's a phenomenal. And you worked with him, Michael Cranston, right? You worked with him recently.
Brian.
You guys were co-stars in that thing.
Co-star.
I believe. Shared a stage.
I'm a walk-on. He's the lead. I did have a conversation with him. He ended up standing next to me. They were filming a movie here, and I got a job as a, quote, featured extra.
Oh.
Which means I had no lines, but I got to,
featured.
Well, I'm in the scene, presumably, unless I get cut.
Right.
And I ended up standing next to him during a break, and I said, hey, that new show you're doing, Sneaky Pete, is terrific, which it is, Amazon Prime or whatever it is, Amazon TV.
Right.
It's a great show. And he said, hey, thanks, man. So I already know the guy I'm picking.
That's perfect.
We spent a good 8 seconds together.
That's good.
All right, let's move this along.
Yeah.
It's your pick.
Now, I'm shocked that this guy has fallen to me at number 2, because he is the single greatest television character in the history of television characters. Name me somebody else who is the show, the absolute show. Nobody else really even matters on the show. It's a detective series where you know the ending in the first 10 minutes.
Ooh, you're
and
going
then
old
the
school.
Rest of the show is so entertaining
I know where
because it's just this guy figuring it out. Lieutenant Columbo. Lieutenant Frank Columbo.
That's a fine pick.
With a second overall pick in the all-time TV draft, Frank Columbo.
I like that pick. I give you points for that.
He is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. The whole show is just him figuring
it
out.
And you know what? Why he's a good pick? Very underrated.
Oh, totally.
Often, the opposition doesn't give him the reset. He's not going to get the double coverage he deserves.
Nope.
And in the end, he gets it done.
Yeah.
Every time.
I
admire.
And you think you have him beat, but it's just one
I admire the
thing.
Pick.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk to Steve. Steve gets to start us out. Steve, you got a little Phillies drama to share first, eh? Steve, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, let's go. That's all right. What do you got?
Question, given that the Phillies management is so unprofessional, uncaring, in their defense, I don't understand. There's a reason why they're not bringing some of the young players up because of their rookie contracts that extend for a couple years. And I figured Glenn and Mark are the guys that know the answer to that.
Your question is, why are they not bringing them up?
Well, not why. There's a financial reason.
Yeah, the financial reason is baseball players become free agents after 6 years of service. They become arbitration eligible, which means that they basically their salary gets bumped up a lot. After basically 2.5 years eligible, they, like a lot of other teams, will hold guys in the minor leagues a little longer so that the clock doesn't start ticking on them making big money. And that's okay. And that's where they are.
And then there's other stuff. Rule 5 comes into it, and I think that's what they're worried about with Kingery, because I think next year is his Rule 5 year.
Well, they're going to have to put him on the Major League roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be on the Major League roster next spring. All right, you get a pick. You're the first caller to get a pick. You represent thousands of people. Don't blow it, my friend.
Sir, I will not blow it. For you, Glenn, a guy that you probably don't watch as much because you like more drama shows, but Kramer on Seinfeld.
Oh.
His expressions coming in and out of doorways, it's classic.
I think, like Mark, I've probably seen every Seinfeld.
Yeah.
50 times.
You're a good man, sir.
You know who's never seen an episode of Seinfeld is Ray, which is why I could never do this show when Ray's working. Because Ray, I mean, there's so many shows. It's like, oh, yeah, that's one of the greatest shows ever. It's like, yeah, I never saw it.
I never saw it.
Anyway, your thought on his pick?
I think it's a great pick, a very versatile character.
Thank you, Steve. I think he went a little early. I think he took a specialist early. I think that Kramer is not, he's not the lead.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the guy you build your team around. He's really good at what he does, but he's limited in his role. I got to tell you, I think it's a stretch.
You know, you ever see the show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yeah, sure.
Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Well, he's on that show. He does a show with Seinfeld on it.
It's all he's got going these days.
Unfortunately.
Off-field issues, this character, too. Let's be honest.
That's right, yeah.
Got some off-field problems.
Yeah, definitely.
Not going to get along with all of his teammates.
Could be locker room poison. You never know.
Yeah.
But he said on that show, I could have played that character forever. That the wacky neighbor. Think about it. Like he could have done that in so many different other shows.
Yeah.
It's a versatile pick. Definitely has controversy though.
Yeah, I don't like it. All right, Steve McFadden, let's get your picks here before the first break. You get two in a row, back to backs. What are you gonna do?
I can't believe this guy fell, but I'm taking Tony Soprano.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nobody's messing with that guy.
Good pick. All right.
Intimidation factor.
Yeah. All right, I like it. Not quite Walter White, but certainly first-round worthy. What else you got? You get two.
I'll take Jack Bauer.
Ooh. He's got a theme. He's going to have a tough team.
Yeah. The interesting thing with Jack Bauer is that when the clock's running out, who would you want to depend on more? Nobody.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Yes.
He's
very, very good clutch player.
The man's always on the clock.
Very
man
good.
Is always on the clock.
Very good clutch player. All right, you know what? I'm not done. Let's get Mike here. We'll give the callers another one before we go, right? So callers are next in this thing.
Callers are next up.
Mike, you're on 94 WIP. You going to watch that fight?
Oh, I absolutely am. I absolutely am. Real quick, I just want to make an Eagles point, a McGregor point, and then give you my guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fighting. There's a lot of film out there on Floyd Mayweather. Conor McGregor studies like nobody in the game. It's a fight, so all it takes is one punch. So don't count Conor McGregor out of a boxing match. If it goes past four, Mayweather's obviously got it because McGregor will gas by then.
All right, let me run the logic by you here because I don't think so. The odds are now 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It really could be 1,000-1. What you're doing is you're taking McGregor. You're taking away half of his artillery and saying go fight. You're
right.
It's like you're tying his arms behind his back and saying go fight, but you're tightening his feet. I don't see it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Floyd Mayweather can't punch him as hard as anything Conor McGregor hasn't felt at 175. So with that being said, Conor, he's so unorthodox that it is a fight and all it takes is one punch.
Yeah, but great fighters haven't been able to hit Floyd Mayweather.
I agree, but there's only like, let's be honest, Floyd Mayweather's only had like eight true legit fights in his life. Like his record is the most inflated record in the history of professional sports.
Yeah, one of the things that bugs me is that he's 49-0 career. This is going to count as his 50th win.
Yep. That's a joke. Now that part of it, I admit, is a joke.
You're not watching it as a serious fight, Mark, you're watching it as an event.
A spectacle. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Okay. All right, it's time for your pick.
I can't believe he's a steal in the second round. Al Bundy.
Al, phenomenal. I mean, it's a great pick. I mean, you think about what he did in high school. He can carry that to the pros. I mean, I'm shocked that he even
it's
had
all
to,
that one episode.
Oh yeah, I'm shocked that he had to go to college. You know what I mean? Or you know, he didn't even have to go there. He yeah. should have just went right out of high school, like a LeBron James.
Yeah.
I know, it's football, it's different, but not for Al Bundy.
You like that pick?
I've seen very limited Married with Children episodes. Very, very limited because Mr. and Mrs. Farzetta were not allowing their two boys to watch that program.
Is that right?
That's
very
accurate.
You know what that was in my house?
What?
Hogan's Heroes.
You weren't allowed to watch Hogan's?
Oh, no.
Oh.
There's nothing funny about that my parents did exactly find the humor in German prison camps.
Well, that's hysterical because that was like my dad's favorite show growing
up. Well, there you go.
But no, there was no Married with Children.
All your perspective, okay.
Totally, totally. But no, we weren't allowed to watch Married with Children. And to this day, and it's on reruns, obviously, whatever.
Yeah, everything.
I will still watch a little bit of an episode if it's on and just be like, take that, Mom. I'm watching it.
You feel a little rebellious?
Take that. I call my mom. Right, guess what I'm doing.
So as we go into the break, give me the teams we got so far.
All right. So far, Steve has Tony Soprano and Jack Bauer. Mm-hmm. The callers have Kramer and Al Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
I have Frank Colombo taken with the second overall pick. You have Walter White taken with the first
overall. All right. We'll come back. We'll do more. We'll get your calls. Always, it's going to be a lot of fun. We invite everybody to participate. Make sure you have some kind of a sports point first. 888-729-9494. Mark Farzetta is in for Ray. I'm Glenn Mack now. But Mark Farzetta, I'm Glenn Mack now. Mark's in for Ray today. Mark, at 11 o'clock, I need you to explain something to me.
All right.
Because, again, I was out of town all week, and I know there is a controversy of how the Sixers are treating their season ticket holders. And you told me that you kind of laid it all out in the morning show earlier this week.
Yeah.
I missed it. I need you to do that for me.
At 11 o'clock? I will unleash the fury.
Okay, very good. All right, let's get Mike. Mike, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Glenn. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's happening, brother?
Haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Pleasure.
Yeah, always. Great show. I gotta say this about the Eagles. I think a lot of fans, a lot of hosts, are people overreacting about what the Eagles have at quarterback because I think the pressures are going to get on the quarterback. Quarterback is going to, I think, not erase it, but it's certainly going to help. And what they have, and I think you're going to be surprised at some of these defensive backs they have.
Defensive backs? I hope so.
Yeah, I really am.
Only place that I feel uncomfortable with this team.
Right.
Oh, sure. And last year, if you remember, we went into the year, you know what, we can be okay at corner because our defensive line is going to be so good with Fletcher Cox. And now we're hearing that same thing again. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that defensive line will get a great push up front, and you'll be fine with whatever corners you have there. And I'm still not buying that, not even a little bit.
It's a major upgrade, though, guys. That's my opinion.
It is, but it's still the same theme. I'm very happy about Timmy Jernigan's, and I think he's a guy that will be – I think he's been overlooked in the offseason because Alshon Jeffery signed here as well. But I think he is the best acquisition they made. I think that defensive line is going to be – I absolutely do.
I think he's a notch up from Benny Logan, but I don't think he's a game changer. We'll see.
I think with Fletcher Cox next to him, he will be.
Okay.
Especially for a defensive tackle that gets after the quarterback like he does.
I hear you. Listen, we all do agree that the one thing they need to do, is play well in the secondary. And it's the thing that makes – I'm not nervous about the wide receivers anymore. I think the running back is fine. I think Wentz is going to be better. The line, if it's healthy, if Lane Johnson stays on the field, all good. It is those cornerbacks. So, Mike, you get a pick. It's the second round. Pretty wide open field. What are you going to go?
All the picks have been awesome, and I would go – my pick is pretty easy. One of the best shows ever on TV, Archie Bunker.
Oh!
Stole it.
Damn.
Stole it.
That was on my list. It was right at the top of my draft list.
Oh.
That's a great pick. Not very well done. Listen, that show, I remember when it first came out, I was, 12, 13,
mm-hmm.
and that was a game changer, that show. It, among other things – it was the first time anybody ever flushed a toilet on TV. I guess I should probably remember from more than that. But it was a show that openly discussed racism and made fun of it. And he was so perfect at being the guy who could play the fool, how do I want to say it, but not always be a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great at Carol O'Connor. It's just great.
So my mom's family is mostly Polish. So that wasn't the most popular show in the world?
No. Well, so, but that was part of it.
Exactly.
But the joke was on him.
Yes, exactly. And that's what that show did well, put it on him. And look, I've only seen a limited amount of that show, but that's what I remember about it. I also remember sitting on my grandmother's carpet, sitting on my grandmother's floor in the living room with that show on. And I remember finding it funny. And I remember there was an episode where he made fun of Sammy Davis Jr.'s glass eye.
Yeah. Yeah, he met Sammy Davis Jr. He was driving a cab. Sammy Davis Jr. left something in the cab.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I just remember thinking it was hysterical. And that was a kid, and I found it was funny. I know either of those guys were.
It is one of the great characters in the history of TV. It was a good pick by the listener, and so now it's your pick?
It's my pick, sir.
Okay.
With the second round pick, what do we have here? The third pick in the second round?
Yeah.
The one, the only. One of the funniest characters in the history of television. After thanking Frank Colombo, I got to lighten the mood a little bit. And I'm going to do that with Mr. Ron Swanson of Parks and Recreation. Bang!
Way too early.
No, not even close.
Way.
Not even.
Way.
Not even close.
Early.
Not even close. Not even close.
It's a
absolutely.
It's a fun character.
It's a phenomenal character.
It's a depth pick.
Can do anything. The guy, I need him to build me a house. Bang.
Right.
Build me a house.
Out of
need
twigs.
Me to live it, the front office's involvement in small-time politics. Boom. See you later.
And butcher a cow. I'm sure he could do that. Bad pick. I get two picks here, right?
Snake, yep.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go comedy.
All right.
And I'm going to go with a guy who has been the star of a show that's run on television longer than any show currently on television. I'm taking Homer Simpson.
Wow. That's a great one.
And with my first pick of the third round, I am going to be the first to take a woman.
You're a pioneer.
And well, there you have
You're a pioneer.
This is a pioneer because I'm taking Mary Richards.
Mary Richards?
Yeah, Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, okay. I just always knew her as Mary Tyler. I didn't know it was Mary Richards.
I'm taking Mary Richards, one of the great pioneer characters in television. And there you go. That's my squad so far. You want to praise my picks?
Walter White, Homer Simpson,
yeah.
Mary Richards.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Homer Simpson and Mary Richards in the same room. See how that works?
I get some flexibility with that.
I get the feeling that with their...
My team's got a lot of multi-talents.
Well, with Mary Richards and Homer Simpson, I get the feeling like they would try to top each other with jokes, and that could lead to some problems within.
Okay.
One might have to get traded later on, and Walter White just shaking his head at both of them.
Okay. It's your pick, Big Shot.
Ah, wow, that was right out of the gate. I would have to go with a, this is tough, third round. This is where you want to look, go and get a value pick.
Mm-hmm.
And with a value pick, I'm going to have to go with Coach Pantuso. From Cheers.
I love him. You have an interesting strategy, which is you're taking a lot of very talented small periphery characters.
Mm.
They're the best small periphery characters.
Mm.
I named my cat after him.
After Coach?
Ernie, yeah.
Ernie Pantuso. Ernie got...
Yeah. You remember my cat?
I remember, yes, of
you
course.
You took care of that cat
yes.
one time.
You made fine contributions to the Mark Farzetta Fund back when I was a producer. I appreciate that.
You have sat for me, and including that cat.
Yes.
Ernie was named after Coach.
Ernie and Maximus.
Ernie Pantuso. Yeah, Max is still walking the earth.
Still kicking?
Yeah, Ernie has passed away.
Aww.
Sweet cat. Again, I like your picks, but I think you're going specialists.
Mm.
You're gonna have the best special teams in our league, but I don't think you're getting foundational guys. I don't think you can base a series on your guys.
Well, here's what I like about Coach. He'll take a fastball to the head for the rest of the team.
That's a great episode. That was a special.
I know that's on YouTube. I've seen that a while back.
It's the greatest.
The guy will do anything for the team.
Yeah. His specialty was getting hit by a pitch.
And I know that he'll earn the respect right out of the gate from Ron Swanson. And Frank Colombo will do similar to what your guy will do, Walter White.
I want to hang out with your team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it represent. I wouldn't want to do the show based on your team, but I would definitely like to hang out with your guys.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, good morning, afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
You're doing great.
Excellent. Glenn, as always, I love your articles and the Metro.
Thank you.
Spot on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I got to wake up tomorrow and figure out what the heck I'm writing about.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much.
No worries. Write about this. If I can, since the Phillies are the Phillies, let's look forward to other sports. I got to say my excitement level, I'm the furthest thing from a basketball fan, but I'm more jazzed about the Sixers than the Eagles. simply because of the head coaching situation. Brett Brown's established. I know that he can take something and make it work.
What?
I
think that's what we don't know.
Why, because he's had mediocre talent, now he actually has talent, and he can't figure out what to do with it?
We have no idea whether he can coach a winning team.
Yeah, but Peterson too much reminds me of Andy Reid.
I'm not saying Peterson can coach a winning team either, but look, we all like Brett Brown. Everybody likes Brett
Love
Brown.
Him.
Right. Everybody wants him to succeed. Everybody respects him for what he's had to go through in the last 4 years and how he's done it. But I think it's the farthest thing I can say that we know Brett Brown is a winner.
Here's what I'll say.
He's got the losingest record in the history of the NBA.
Yes. I think Brett
Not
Brown.
On him.
Well, here's it. But Greg, to your point, though, I think Brett Brown can coach.
Yep.
Would I bet $1,000 that he's a great coach? Absolutely not. But I think just from the little things that he's done, like Nerlens Noel actually developing an offensive game, I think that shows you that Brett Brown can coach. Seeing a guy like Dario Saric progress over the year while he came over, you know, his first year over to the NBA, I think shows he can coach. And look, when he finally got some semblance of talent, they actually won some games. And in the NBA, 28 games is actually a decent season. As pathetic as that is, that's the NBA.
It's 28 out of 82.
I agree with you, but
again,
that's the NBA.
I am not putting this on him. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. What I'm saying is we have no idea if he can coach a winner because he's never had the opportunity to do it.
Sure.
It remains to be seen. But,
okay, I'll buy into that.
All right, your pick.
Okay, but listening to the two of them speak, you can hear the passion in Brett's voice, and that's where my confidence level is more placed. But
going
with the TV pick, this one may be a sleeper. I'm picking him for two reasons. I'm going with Stephen Urkel.
Mark?
You know, I saw that suggested on Twitter, and I was thinking, why? You're going to have to explain it to me. Why do you want Urkel on your team?
Two reasons. One, he's generational. Because my 11-year-old daughter will do something goofy and say, "Did I do that?" And she has no idea who. She never watched him when he first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I got to like, because he's still spanning generations. Second is he can adapt his game because once, you know, puberty hit in and he couldn't do that voice anymore, he became Stefan, and he changed his character so he can adapt, i.e., Roger Clemens.
Ooh.
He can find a way.
Wow,
he can become a junk baller.
Yeah.
Well, you've put a lot of thought into it. I'll give you that.
You sold me. You sold me.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Take him in the third round.
I don't love the pick, but, you know.
It's a good explanation.
If he does, yeah.
If I'm his boss and he's the GM and he's coming to me, I'm the owner, and he's like, this is why, I go, I see your point. That's all I got. I see your point.
Oh, shoot. We're late for a break.
That happens.
We could keep going.
Yeah, why not?
888-729-9494. Mark Farzetta is in for Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack now. We'll be back with your picks in the all-time TV character draft. Right here on 94WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.